Well, hello and welcome to Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman alongside Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. We'll hear from Joel Johnson later on in the CEO's Corner. But first, Eric, first of all, how are you? And second of all, it's NFL draft weekend, so I have an idea related to that.
That sounds very exciting. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing great. I'm excited about this topic today because, like I said, it is NFL draft weekend. So we're going to do our own draft. We're going to do the financial draft. So basically what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a topic. Or an item. Something in the financial world. And you're going to tell us, is this like a first round pick? If you were the general manager for the retirement planning team, is this a first round pick? Is this something that, yeah, maybe you would look at in a later round? Or is it something that you're not going to draft at all? Okay?
This sounds like fun. You have me smiling right here.
Let's start with the Roth IRA. Is this a first round pick? Is this a later round pick? Or is this, no, I'm not interested.
First round. Now, at the risk of making things confusing, I'm not going to factor into time and how much time you have until retirement, but Roth IRAs are designed for you to pay less money in taxes, which is two thumbs up. So it's a fantastic tool. Disclaimer that goes with all of it, doesn't apply to everyone, but you know, there anyone out there thinking that they don't pay too much money in taxes? If you can pay less, great. Some of your money you need now, some of it not till later. If you're going to grow money for later, grow it in a tax-free way. Makes a lot of sense to me. First round.
All right, very good. Gold is next up on the draft board. Are we drafting gold first round, later round, or not at all? And I guess when I say gold, we should really say just precious metals in general.
I'm going to pass on that. Their draft stock has dropped for me. And this is the reason is that it's one of those things when people ask me about gold, what they're asking is not should I own gold, but should I own anything other than gold? You shouldn't have
What do you mean by that?
I mean, you shouldn't have all of your money, into any one thing. You won't bounce, right? What did I just say about Roth? We need some of the money for now. We need some of the money for later. There's going to be moments in time where the market is horrendous. That doesn't mean you should be out of it, but it's a little scary if you have all your money in it. So it's very unique to each person's situation, but where gold gets dicey, or precious metals in general, not just to beat up on poor old gold, is that people have a tendency of putting far too much of their money into it. Gold and precious metals as an asset class also have a tendency doing somewhat better when it seems like most of the rest of the world is doing lousy. So that gains it some notoriety in a positive way, but you can lose a bunch of money in precious metals just like you can any security. So be real careful with that one.
All right. Moving along in our draft here, the next thing on the draft board is something called a LERP, which sounds like it could be a disease, a LERP. I got to get this LERP removed from my elbow. But I'm told it stands for Life Insurance Retirement Plan. What is that? And what's the draft status?
So I really think life insurance can fit into a strategy. I use it, right? I'm 41. There's people that are 80 that are using it. It's not just, you know, people get, I don't want to say confused. People think, well, okay, well, you know, I'm older now, my kids are grown, I don't need life insurance anymore. No, you don't need life insurance for what you once used it for before. But there's a reason that some of the wealthiest people in this country are leveraging insurance companies and using life insurance to get certain tax-free benefits. And it sure as heck isn't because they like paying life insurance premiums. So I wouldn't rule this one out. However, I would have, can I say penalty flag? I would be prepared in getting to this conversation that sometimes people are very biased and they think like that gold that you should be doing this with all your money and you shouldn't. So it can fit in. It's specific. It's not for everyone. I would say it's not for most people. But if it makes sense for you, it probably makes a lot of sense. So it's worth looking at. Third round.
All right. Interesting. So we are doing our financial draft here. Eric Hogarth is the GM of the retirement planning team. He's telling us, are these first round picks? Are these later round picks, or are we not drafting this item at all onto our financial team? So far, we have Roth IRA, which Eric said is a first round pick. ALERP, a life insurance retirement plan, third round, he says. Gold, he's not drafting at all. How about the variable annuity, Eric?
Okay, so conceptually, a variable annuity is a market vehicle with an insurance wrapper around it. So it's designed for, all right, it's going to appreciate over time because it's going to grow based on the market. For that, I like that. But then you got the insurance wrapper around it. And what do people say when the subject of annuities come up? Is, oh, geez, the fees are really high. And most variable annuities you're going to look at, most, not all, the fees are going to be pretty high. That I don't like. Because in the world these days, where you can index and you can get allocated to the market at a very low cost, why am I going to pay another 2, 3, even 4% in fees for additional features that are supposed to save me money when it sounds like it's costing me money? So in this day and age, I can't speak across the board that there's none out there that are good, but I have not seen a variable annuity in a while that I thought was worth the fees people were getting charged. I'm talking about a new issue. If you have an existing older variable annuity, certainly, bring it in, take a look at it. Some of those are fantastic and worth keeping. Before you do anything with an old or a new variable annuity or any annuity, you have to make sure you understand exactly how it works, because they've got a lot of rules. You play by the rules, they could add value. You break those rules, you're going to be regretting it. So I'm passing on the variable annuity.
Okay. Indexed annuity, a different kind of annuity. First round, later round, not drafting at all.
This is where some of my bias is going to come in. I really like indexed annuities. I'm going first round. I still go Roth IRA before the indexed annuity. Now, an indexed annuity is a type of fixed annuity. A fixed annuity means that you're not going to be going up and down based on what the market is. So a very different vehicle in a variable annuity that at the core, with a variable annuity, can you lose money? Yes. With an indexed annuity, can you lose money if you play by the rules? No. It's not going up and down with the market. It's a vehicle that, let's say it indexes with the S&P 500. So if the S&P 500 goes up, you can go up. If the S&P 500 goes down, you can't go down. So it can make money. It can't lose money. And unless you have a rider, most of them don't have fees. So, all right, Eric, it can go up, can't go down, I don't pay fees. What's the catch? Sounds like there's a catch. Of course there's a catch. You got to tie the money up for a while. It's not a short-term thing. You don't get all the up. Well, I want all the up. Well, if you want all the up, you get all the down. But just like you need money that's growing for later, you also need safe money. It's, again, that balance. But particularly with the folks we're talking to who are getting closer and closer to retirement, safe stuff is important. And safe, to me, means you can't lose money. And in this thing, you can't lose money. And I like that. So, first round.
Okay. A couple more items on the draft board here again in honor of NFL draft weekend. We're doing the financial draft. Eric is telling us if these items are first round, later round, or not even on his draft board. What about rental property, Eric?
I'm going second round. Now, that's because I got to put something in the second round. But also, I like conceptually the idea of rental property. Now, because I like income. Right. People say, well, I got $1 million. Can I retire? I got $2 million. Can I retire? Really what they're asking is $1 million enough money when invested appropriately for me that it can generate some income off of it so I can live for the rest of my life? And it'd really be nice if I didn't actually run out of $1 million. That's what they're asking. So retirement is about income planning. And why do people buy rental property? Well, to generate income. Really, I guess kind of three reasons. Number one, cash flow. Number two, tax advantages, right? Get some write-off on the work there. And number three, hopeful capital appreciation. I hope I buy this thing and it goes up in value. Now, you were a nurse your whole career. You were a lawyer, engineer. You were anything but a real estate developer or real estate investor. Don't just assume that it's easier and you're going to be good at it, because it might be hard and you might be terrible at it. And now you're retired and you got a full-time job and you're not even getting paid for it. So be careful going down the road of these rental properties. If you're the person that I've talked to plenty of times says, we're not quite ready to move yet, so we're going to buy a vacation home. We're going to rent it out, have it pay for itself. It's going to go up in value. Then when we retire, we're going to move down there. 99 out of 100 times when I've seen people do that, the person they rent the house to doesn't treat it the way that they would treat it. So any money that they would have made in appreciation, they spend renovating this house so it is ready for them to move into it, or they sell it altogether. Almost never do they make money. Well, Eric, what about this one time? Yes. And you can tell me about the one time, you know, your next door neighbor went to the casino with a buck and made $100 on a slot machine. But all the other times don't go that way. So conceptually, I like the idea of rental property, but make sure you know what you're getting into before you get into it.
All right. So here's the thing. A lot of people don't really have a plan when they just start, if you will, drafting products or strategies into their financial plan. It's just, oh, that seems good at the moment. And so basically they become, I don't know, the Cleveland Browns, just willy-nilly picking things that aren't really working toward a grander strategy for you. And that's what you want to avoid. And that's why, Eric, the Money Map Retirement Review is so important, because it helps you have that plan. And it clarifies for you what you should be drafting onto your financial team. So tell us about the Money Map Retirement Review. Why do we need it? And then how do we get it?
So you know, I like simple, right? We like simple. I've yet to meet anyone who said, you know what I want is I want things more complicated. So I like simple. But none of these answers in this draft are simple, because they all depend. And when you get on the internet or you watch the news, everyone wants to say, you know, this is how much money you need to retire. The universal answer to the question, or this is how you can best grow your money. But it doesn't work that way. It's unique to you. Because even if I can tell you, well, this makes the most financial sense, some people are going to be comfortable with that and some people aren't. So it's got to be tied into what makes sense for you. Because what we talk about all day, every day is you and your money and your life, and you're going to live it. And I want it to be great. So it starts with a conversation, and we can set that up. You can give us a call. Our number is 1-800-705-1232. You're going to leave a message. We're going to call you back. You don't need your schedule. You don't need your financial statements. But we'll call you and we'll schedule a time and we'll have this conversation and we'll see what makes sense to you. And it's nice to have that peace of mind and just start the conversation. And it, you know, the 80% rule is something people talk about. And what that means is you're not going to make it 100% perfect. But if you can get 80% there, then you're moving forward. So that phone call is moving forward, and stop procrastinating. Call us, 1-800-705-1232, and we'll have the conversation. And most people are in a better position than they think they are.
Once again, 800-705-1232. Call or text, whichever is easiest in the moment, and somebody will get back with you later and get that scheduled for you. 800-705-1232. It's 800-705-1232. You're listening to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. We'll open up the mailbag in just a moment. Eric Hogarth will answer some of your questions in the mailbag. But first, let's go to Joel Johnson with the CEO's Corner.
It's time for the CEO's Corner.
Yes, it is time for the CEO's Corner. We're here now with Joel Johnson, CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Joel, I'm curious, in a world where there's so much news available, financial news, economic news, world event news, a new crisis every day, how do you consume news? Both for your own sanity and your sanity as a business owner, where there are a lot of things you have to think about that maybe the average person doesn't have to think about. How do you filter all this? Who do you trust? How do you take it all in?
Great question, John. I would say there's two different types of news, and you hit kind of the nail on the head there. There's news I get as a business owner, and those are typically trade publications. So investment news, financial advisor, these are different trade publications that just keep me up to date on new laws, new rules happening in our industry. What are the trends in our industry? But this is from a business standpoint. It's not something our clients would necessarily follow, because it's not, you know, is the market going up or down? What's happening in the economy? It's much more what's happening in the industry. That's very helpful for me to look at, because I know, you know, our firm's hiring, our firm's laying people off. You know, we're always looking for talent here. So, you know, right now we're in a time when big financial firms are laying people off. I'm excited about the talent that's available. If I wasn't reading those trade publications, all I would see is a headline here and there, but I wouldn't really know what's going on behind the scenes. So from a business owner standpoint, I look at a lot of the trade publications that are available for not just financial advisory business or investment business, but also some of the insurance business, since we do some insurance business here. From a consumer standpoint, I will say hands down, the Wall Street Journal is my number one source for news. For those that don't know, the Wall Street Journal is not just investment news. They cover international headlines, international stories. They cover national stories. They cover what's going on in our country politically. Yes, they cover investments and so on. But what I like about the Wall Street Journal, it's balanced. You know, it's not far to the left. It's not far to the right. When they're reporting on a story, they really are reporting on the story. It's not commentary. It's not political spin like we get with so many other newspapers and news publications or news outlets. And so I'm a huge fan of the Wall Street Journal. I look at the Wall Street Journal typically on my phone every single day. Once I get up very early in the morning, I have a little bit of another routine, and then I'll pick up that phone and read the headlines and maybe scroll down and read some other things of interest. Secondarily to that, when it comes to just finance, I will tend to look at Bloomberg a little more than CNBC. CNBC's good for what's going on in the markets, but it does tilt a little bit, in my opinion. This is just my opinion, so please don't send me emails if you work for CNBC. It tends a little bit towards sensationalism, almost financial gossip maybe, and Bloomberg doesn't do that. So the Bloomberg News Channel, which not all of us get on our where we consume our television, I think is much more balanced and much more, you know, they're not hyping things here and there. Like, they don't have that noon show where people are talking about what they're, you know, what a stock is going to do in the next 24 hours, which is not investing at all. But CNBC is not bad. So those are the two big sources for me, Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg, and then secondarily CNBC.
I don't think we would ever advocate that somebody just bury their head in the sand and not pay attention to the news. But we certainly do see people who consume, I would say, too much of it, to the point that they're just anxiety ridden because they've taken in so much news and current events, which, if you think about the way we were designed, Joel, we weren't 100 years ago or all the millenniums before that consuming all this news. We didn't know what was going on the other side of the world at a moment's notice like we do now.
No, we knew a tiger was coming at us. You better get out of the way or climb a tree or something.
Right.
I mean but it's interesting you say that, John, because our brains are still wired that way. Our brains are still wired to look for danger and look for threats, which is why negative news and crisis news sells so much better than a story about a kid that just got a scholarship to Harvard that came out of the inner city. You know, that kid that got a scholarship to Harvard that came out of the inner city, that'll play for about 4 seconds. And there will be, you know, 27 minutes of the news about, you know, the world ending, you know, what kind of political scandals are going on out there. Big companies are trying to rip us off. It's just it's a never ending thing, because that's what people tune into. Because remember, our brains, even though we live in this cushy, very affluent world, are still wired towards risk and negativity.
And I think a lot of people apply that same anxiety to their financial planning because they see all this news swirling all around them, a lot of it, you know, trying to get them ginned up and scared. So when you see people come in to visit and they come in for their Money Map retirement review, how does that process help alleviate some of the anxiety that they've maybe created because of too much news consumption?
Well, one of the things the Money Map does is it gives people a very realistic and simple picture of exactly where they're at. We remove all the fluff, all the noise out there, a lot of the obsession on, do I own the right stock or fund? Yes, those things are important. But the most important thing most of our clients want to know is, hey, am I going to have enough money to do all the things I want to do for the rest of my life? What rate of return do I need to be able to achieve that with my money? And if I have money left over, who do I want to leave that to? Those are the fundamental things. And sometimes people get caught up in, again, I'll use the word gossip, you know, the gossip of, do you own the right funds? What are you paying in fees? You know, all these different things that are sort of secondary to what we want our money to do, which is live a life according to our values. And so, yes, we do have to remove that from the conversation right away. And the Money Map really helps us do that because, again, it's a simple one-page document. It shows someone's entire financial picture. It's got their income. If they're not retired yet, it'll have their present income with a goal. It'll have their future income with a goal when they're retired. We know how much of a shortfall needs to be made up by the investments if they don't have enough income from a guaranteed standpoint. It's just a real simple document. And it tends to, just by its very nature, and this is why we designed it like we did so many years ago, about 15 years ago, by its very nature, it removes some of the noise that's out there. I mean, it's like you wouldn't get investment advice from Twitter, right? You just wouldn't. I mean, Twitter's not even a real place. It's a place where people yell at each other. But some of us get our investment advice from places like Twitter, where, you know, people are trying to sensationalize certain things. And so, you know, we just need to remove that. I remember I teach a group of financial advisors from around the country. And just recently, we had folks up to our Hartford office. We had 30 financial advisors from around. And we were talking about how to talk to clients during a seminar and how to educate clients during a seminar. I was talking about the old days. And in the old days, financial advisors would try to scare the daylights out of clients. They would say the FDIC is going to fail, that the government is underfunded, Social Security is going to go broke. I mean, it was basically, you're going to be eating dog food if you don't do business with us. That's what financial advisors were saying. And that is such a turnoff to people because, first of all, it's not true. None of it's true. But secondly, you're playing on people's base fears. What financial planning should be is, what are your aspirations? What are your dreams? What are your goals? And can we use your money as a tool to help you get there?
So if somebody wants to come in for that Money Map review, what do they need to do?
Just pick up the phone and call, and do it now while you're thinking about it. It's 1-800-705-1232. Once again, 1-800-705-1232. And you can also text that number. But let me be really, really clear here. You're not going to walk into an appointment where we're trying to force you to do something. We're trying to sell you some financial product. This is a discovery meeting. You actually drive this meeting. You get to ask us questions. You get to share your goals and your dreams, maybe even your fears or the threats to your financial security, family situations that could change your financial security. And we're going to just get to know you also. And at the end of that meeting, we'll see if there's a good fit. And if you want us to, we'll do an entire financial plan and deliver it to you as our money map. And that's completely complimentary. If after that, you know, you decide if you want to work with us or not, if you don't, that's okay. We've got so many folks that come in from this radio program and from my TV program that want our help that we're really honored to be able to do that. So give us a call. We'll set up a time to visit. 1-800-705-1232.
Again, 800-705-1232. Call or text. Either way, you'll get a call back from the team at Johnson Brunetti. 800-705-1232. That's the CEO's Corner. You're listening to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti. Thank you, Joel. And we're back now with Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, wrapping things up today with at least one, maybe two, if we have time, questions in the mailbag. And let's go to Ray, who says, I've heard that you need to have between 15 and 20 times your annual salary in savings to be able to retire comfortably. Do you think that's accurate, Eric?
I tend to believe that's accurate. I like to give a straight answer, but you know, like a lot of the answers, it depends. Do you have a pension? Do you have debt? What's your Social Security situation? Are you 50? Are you 70? But I spend most of my time meeting with two types of people. People that have done a good job living within their means, that are somewhat apprehensive about being able to retire, because people that are good at saving money are not particularly great at spending money. Most of those people say, do we have enough? You know, been working hard at it. Most of those people do have enough. And sometimes it's not anywhere near 15 to 20 times of what they've made. The other type of people that I meet with are the ones that are like, yeah, it's going to be fine. We're going to do great. But they didn't save a large percentage of what they were earning. And most people, when they retire, their income goes down. So if you're used to spending 100% of what you make and your income is going to be less in retirement, how's that going to work? Well, we're going to go out to eat less. We're going to buy less clothes. We're going to drive less. No, you're not. You're probably going to spend more in your first few years because that's how it goes. So it's very specific to you, Ray. And people say, you know, am I doing a good job saving? Yes. Should I save more? Yes. If you can save more, that's great. You know, you can't be in too good of a position for retirement. And since I just led into that, people have different goals. But you also shouldn't be getting the advice as you approach retirement or in retirement that, you know, that you're just never going to spend money, because that's not why you saved it, I doubt. So, you know, I like having these conversations with folks because you save this money so you could live how you want to live. And that's all different to all different people, but it certainly is not retiring, working your butt off after, you know, all these decades of saving so you can spend the rest of your life, you know, afraid to spend your own money or getting advice from someone that you shouldn't spend your money, because that Doesn't sound like fun to me.
Yeah, really doesn't. Well, thank you, Ray, for the question. That's all we have time for today. Again, if you'd like to get in touch with the team at Johnson Brunetti, that number to call is 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. Thanks so much to Eric Hogarth, Joel Johnson, and the rest of the team at Johnson Brunetti. We'll talk with you next week right here. Same time, same place on Money Wisdom.
Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti. Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered through JN Financial, LLC. Johnson Brunetti is a paid sponsor of the Yukon Huskies athletic program.
Better Money is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.